So what I always advise is that if you have an agreement on the child support, don't put it in the separation agreement, put it into a child support consent order. Child support inherently is going to change through the life of the child. A separation agreement is a stagnant contract that is fully binding and is held to the four corners of the document on the date it's signed. The children may be minors for another 15, 16 years, and everybody's financial situations, their needs are going to change. And if you've got it in a separation agreement, a court very well may, depending on how it's worded, hold you to that amount when an actual child support amount through a court order could be two or three times that amount within 5, 6, 7, 8 years, which is why it is not good to put child support in a separation agreement.
Welcome to another episode of Best of Johnston County, brought to you by Breeden Law Office. Our host, Jonathan Breeden, an experienced family lawyer with a deep connection to the community, is ready to take you on a journey through the area that he has called home for over 20 years. Whether it's a deep dive into the love locals have for the county or unraveling the complexities of family law, Best of Johnston County presents an authentic slice of this unique community.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Best of Johnston County podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Breeden. And today we're going to have a special edition episode of the Best of Johnston County podcast that we're calling Ask Jonathan Breeden Anything. Our normal podcast, or the majority of our podcast, is where I, Jonathan Breeden, interview interesting guests from in and around Johnston County, from community leaders to small business owners, to talk about why they love Johnston County and what they do for Johnston County. And on these special edition episodes, which we call Ask Jonathan Breeden Anything, our social media coordinator, Raina Birch, is going to ask me some family law questions. And that's what I do here at my legal office here at 4042 is family law. So today, I think we're going to talk about child support. I do not know what the questions are. I do hope I do know the answer, but hopefully you will find this entertaining and enjoyable. So here we go. Go ahead, Raina.
Well, I mean, you've been batting 1,000 so far with all these questions.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All right. First question. How is child support calculated?
Child support is calculated in North Carolina based on the North Carolina Child Support Guidelines. The North Carolina Child Support Guidelines are drafted and updated every 3 years by the Conference of District Court Judges, which is a group of judges assigned from around the state to get together. And what they basically do, my understanding, Raina, is they study a lot of actuarial tables as to what it costs to figure out what a proper child support amount should be. And they look at inflation, they look at the cost of housing, they look at food, and they look at all of the different sort of inputs it takes to raise a child in North Carolina and how those have changed up or down in the 3 years since they previously looked at it. I believe that they hire experts to come in and help them with these numbers. And then as a result, they end up deciding to raise one child in North Carolina. It is approximately X amount of money. Mm-hmm. Now, the amount of child support that is owed goes up and down based on the combined income of the parties. Mm-hmm. So a child of a doctor who makes $150,000 a year has a lifestyle expectation that would be different than the child of a, say, a teacher who makes $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
And so the amount of child support that a doctor would have to pay is going to be higher than the amount of child support that a teacher would have to pay. But all of this is done through these basically one gigantic actuarial table. It's in the statute if you want to Google it, that they make, that the legislature adopts. And it just lays out basically for one kid at a combined income of the parents of one number, it is X. So let's say that the combined income of the parents is $150,000. And let's say the dad makes $100,000 and the mom makes $50,000. That then goes to the chart and you look at two kids, a combined $150,000, and the basic child support obligation, I'm just guessing, is going to be around $2,000. And now that needs to be divided between mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And then after you get the basic number, they then add in daycare, private school, health insurance, mm-hmm. extraordinary expenses, things that are not, most kids don't have, to add to that base amount, child support number, that ultimately gets divided as a percentage of the parents' combined incomes and the percentage of the number of overnights in a year that the parents have. So that is somewhat of a long-winded answer of how is child support calculated. But basically, you take these actuarial tables, you plug them into a formula. You can do it on the ncchildsupport.com website, mm-hmm. and it gives you an approximate amount of what the child support should be.
Yeah, and there's different worksheets for different types. So if you have sole custody or most, you know, or if you have 50-50. So.
Right, right. There are three different types of worksheets. There's worksheet A, mm-hmm. when one parent has the children the majority of the time and the non-custodial parent does not have 124 nights in a year, mm-hmm. that is considered sort of a sole custody, primary custody arrangement. If each parent has more than 124 nights in a year, it is Schedule B, which is a shared custody worksheet. And then Schedule C is if one parent has one child primarily and the other parent has another child primarily. So it's called a split custody worksheet. And all of these worksheets, and I don't understand the math on the back of them. I am not a math person, which is why I went to law school. But they basically are running certain formulas onto this actuarial table to determine who owes what in child support.
Got it. Okay. What happens if you don't pay your child support?
Well, it depends. If you have a child support order, which means it has gone to court and it's signed by a judge, the vast majority of the people listening to this podcast probably do not have a child support order signed by a judge. Most people go to the child support worksheet online and they sort of figure it out themselves. They come to a verbal agreement and they just agree that you're going to pay me $500 a month, and that's how they go with it. But, and if you don't do that and you violate the verbal agreement, then the party that should be getting the child support has the right to hire an attorney like the Breeden Law Office or go to child support enforcement and go to court and get a child support order signed by a judge. If you have a child support order signed by a judge, which means it's an order of the court and you don't pay your child support, you can be found in contempt of court. And so what happens is either the child support agency or an attorney like the Breeden Law Office, Jonathan Breeden, or one of the associates here, will file what is called a motion to show cause against you, where they're asking the court for you to show cause why you should not be held in contempt of court for willfully violating a court order by not paying your child support. And if the court then holds a hearing and you have the right to be there, and if you can't afford an attorney, the court will appoint you an attorney. You end up having a hearing with a judge. And if the judge finds that you willfully failed to pay your child support, they are more than likely going to place you in jail until you pay some amount of money called a purge, where you can purge yourself for being in contempt to get out of jail. So it can be a very bad outcome. Also, if you have a child support order signed by a judge, you can have your wages garnished. You can have your tax returns garnished, any tax refunds you may get. You may lose some of your professional licenses, and they can take your passport. So there are a lot of things that can be done other than you just not being, well, losing your freedom, but also, I mean, there's a lot of things if you don't pay your child support. And the other thing people forget is your kids age out, and maybe I don't owe you $500 a month anymore currently, but if I have $20,000 in arrears, I still have to keep paying until the arrears are paid. So, like,
it doesn't stop
when they turn 18 if you didn't pay your child support as they were coming along as you should have.
Gotcha. Okay. How often is child support reviewed? Like you said, the board gets together every 3 years, but like each individual family, like how often is that reviewed?
Right.
Or when do they review it?
A child support order, once again, we're talking about a child support order signed by a judge, not your verbal agreement that most people have. A child support order signed by a judge is reviewable at any time based on a motion of either party, either the payor or the payee, if they can show or believe they can show that the amount owed would go up or down more than 15%. Not one side's gross income, not the other side's gross income, but the actual amount, once you've gone through this entire actuarial table and put all the numbers in, would go up or down more than 15%. Then the court can enter a new order. Often you'll see this when somebody gets laid off and they are temporarily receiving unemployment. They can go and get a temporary reduction because they only have their unemployment income. And of course, if you go from a full-time employment to unemployment, which I think is a maximum of like $330 a week,
yeah,
that's going to cause the amount owed to go down more than 15%. And you can get a new child support order that for 6 months or so until you can get another job, and then they can refigure it based on your new income. If your order is more than 3 years old, then you do not have to show that the amount owed would go up or down more than 15%. You can just file for a standard 3 year or more than 3 year review. And that's because the actuarial tables that we talked about earlier are reconfigured every 3 years. So even if you're making the exact same amount of money and the health insurance cost is the exact same, which it won't be, your child support could go up because those actuarial tables, because of inflation, and they went up substantially in this last time. I mean, we were looking at 8, 9, 10% inflation since the previous ones.
Yeah.
Your child support could go up even if the numbers stayed the same, or even if you started making a little bit less because it costs more and more money every year to raise children. You know that. I know that. Everybody listening knows that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's a part of it too.
Okay.
But you have to file a motion. You have to go to court and get a new court order.
Yes.
To get your court ordered child support changed. Yeah. If you want to change your verbal agreement, you call the other side and see if they'll just agree.
Gotcha. Well, and good to know about the 15%, because I know a lot of people that I know personally think it's 15% difference in income, not 15% difference in child support.
Right.
And that's a big difference.
Right. That is a big difference.
About income versus, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars versus
right.
a couple thousand dollars, or, you know, however much, a couple hundred dollars.
Right. Right.
15% of each is huge difference.
Right. Well, and the biggest thing we see a lot of times here is the spouse, often the wife, either has not been working and is coming into the workforce mm-hmm. when we initially do a child support order. And then 6 months, a year into the separation, into the divorce, they're now in the workforce full time. Maybe they've gotten a job back in their field and they're making substantially more money than they were earning the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, particularly if it's Schedule A and they've got primary custody and
yeah.
that non-custodial parent doesn't have 124 nights a year, just because the wife's income went from 15,000 maybe part-time to 35,000 full-time, it does not mean that there's going to be a 15% change in what is owed because their income went up. So that's the most common one that people are surprised by, is when the person receiving the child support's income does go up. It can go up quite substantially, but it doesn't actually make a 15% change. Now, if you only have a temporary child support order, it's modifiable at any point by a motion. So you got to, if it's temporary or if it's permanent, that makes a difference too.
Got it. Okay. How long does a temporary child support order normally last?
It lasts until it's replaced by a permanent order.
Okay.
So it can last forever unless it gets replaced by a permanent child support order.
Got it. Okay. Is child support required in North Carolina, or can parents agree to no support?
Parents can agree to no support, and it is not quote unquote required. The law says that each parent has a duty of support to their child.
Mm-hmm.
How each parent pays for that duty of support is up to the individual parents. A lot of people, particularly in 50-50 custody situations, just split everything. And they split the school supplies, the school clothes,
yeah.
the extracurricular activities, the uniforms, the bats, the helmets, the copays, stuff like that. So those parents often don't do a child support order, but those parents are providing a duty of support because they are supporting their children. They're just not paying it to the other side.
Yeah.
So the parents can choose to not seek child support from each other if they don't want to, and they can verbally agree to an amount mm-hmm. that they believe meets the needs of the children. And I think as long as both parents are participating and they're helping, I think they are meeting their statutorial obligation of a duty of support to their child.
Yeah.
Now, if the other parent is just gone, and unfortunately we see a fair number of those, then, you know, you're going to need to go get a child support order to try to enforce anything at all, because they're not providing any of the day-to-day support. They're not visiting. They're not taking the kids to activities. They're not helping pay for the activity. They're just not involved in the child's life completely. Yeah. And that's unfortunate, but that's how some people choose to be parents.
Maybe some people should be.
Have family law questions? Need guidance to navigate legal challenges? The compassionate team at Breeden Law Office is here to help. Visit us at www.breedenfirm.com for practical advice, resources, or to book a consultation. Remember, when life gets messy, you don't have to face it alone.
All right, so last question. Does a separation agreement affect child support in a negative way, or do you think a positive way?
A separation agreement can include child support and often does. It is my advice, and what we advise here at the Breeden Law Office, is that you not put child support into a separation agreement. A separation agreement is a contract between two people, and the enforcement mechanism for somebody not following a contract is a breach of contract action. And so in that scenario, if Rain and I are getting divorced and we had a separation agreement, I would have to sue you for breach of contract. And we wouldn't go to domestic court. We would go to contract court. And the remedies for breach of contract are not as robust as they are for breach of a court order of child support. You're not going to jail for breaching a contract, but you will go to jail for breaching a court ordered for child support. So what I always advise is that if you have an agreement on the child support, don't put it in the separation agreement, put it into a child support consent order. Child support inherently is going to change through the life of the child. Yeah. A separation agreement is a stagnant contract that is fully binding and is held to the four corners of the document on the date it's signed. The children may be minors for another 15, 16 years, and everybody's financial situations, their needs are going to change. And if you've got it in a separation agreement, a court very well may, depending on how it's worded, hold you to that amount when an actual child support amount through a court order could be two or three times that amount within 5, 6, 7, 8 years, which is why it is not good to put child support in a separation agreement. The other reason not to put child support in a separation agreement is it's part of a bargain for exchange. It's part of the entire contract. So you, when a somebody comes and looks at it, they say, okay, they divided a house, a 401k, their personal property, and here's the child support. Well, the court later doesn't know how you came up with that number if you don't tell it in the contract. Yeah. And so it's going to say, that's the bargain for exchange, and that's what the person owes. I've seen that work for the good and bad. If you're in the military and you end up doing a child support in a consent order, and you come out of the military and you're making a lot less, which a lot of military members do when they come out, the court is going to hold you to the child support that you put in the separation agreement, even though you're not earning that amount of money anymore. That's a problem. But it also can go the other way, where you put child support into a separation agreement, and let's say the husband's making 60 and the wife's making 60, and 5 years from now, the wife's making 120 and the husband's making 90. Well, that child support should be substantially different, but yet here it is back in this contract that hasn't changed. And it can only be changed by a consent of both parties. Well, who's going to consent to raise their child support, right? But if it's in a court order and it's been more than 3 years, you can go and review it. And so that's the thing. You can put child support in a separation agreement and have it modifiable in the future if the separation agreement clearly states that the amount of child support is based on the guidelines or is remotely close to the guidelines and is modifiable in the future by either party motioning a court of competent jurisdiction. If that line's not there, the court is going to hold both parties to the amount of child support that's in that contract forever, which is not always what's best for the child.
No. Well, and if it's already in the separation agreement, but the other party won't consent to raise it. Can somebody file with child support services to get a court-ordered child support?
As long as
the current circumstances?
As long as the separation agreement allows for it to be modified by a court of competent jurisdiction. If the separation agreement just says the child support's $500 a month, then the court is not going to be in a position to modify it. Okay. There are situations where the custodial schedule has completely switched that might allow the court to then come in and award some child support, but that gets real complicated. And you definitely need to talk to a lawyer about that. But that's why it's our advice, and we could talk for another hour about this, to leave child support, because it's inherently changeable and going to need to change out of separation agreements.
Okay.
But you can do it, and people do it, but it needs to have the right wording if you're going to, because nobody wants to be held to the child support, you know, it's 10 years old. Right, right. I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, the person paying may, because it's often going to go up.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's true.
All right. Well, that's all we have.
Well, good. All right. Well, I hope y'all have enjoyed this special edition of the Best of Johnson County podcast called Ask Jonathan Breeden Anything. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, if you would do us the favor of liking or subscribing or following this podcast wherever you're seeing it, whether it be on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you're seeing any of the 60-second clips that are on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, you would be so kind as to also possibly leave us a 5-star review down at the bottom where you are receiving this podcast. It will help with our visibility so more people will find out about the Best of Johnson County podcast. New episodes of the Best of Johnson County podcast come out every Monday, so be checking back and looking for who the guests are going to be. If this is your first time listening, go back and listen to some of the previous episodes of the Best of Johnson County podcast. We've had some very interesting guests, including County Commissioner Patrick Harris, County Parks and Rec Director Adrian O'Neill, local dentist Dr. Tim Sims, County Commissioner Ted Godwin, State Representative Donna White, and we even had a financial advisor, Chris Key, on as well, talking about ways that you can be better in your financial future. We are here to try to educate you about what is great about Johnson County, and we will continue to do that. Until next time, I'm your host, Jonathan Breeden.
That's the end of today's episode of Best of Johnston County, a show brought to you by the trusted team at Breeden Law Office. We thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to sharing more interesting facets of this community next week. Every story, every viewpoint adds another thread to the rich tapestry of Johnston County. If the legal aspects highlighted raise some questions, help is just around the corner at www.breedenfirm.com.